headed to first base on the play, and Clayton out at second. Brings up Jake Beauchesne with a runner on first and one out in the top of the ninth. Righty-righty matchup, and the first pitch is fouled off of the foot of Beauchesne, and he goes to the ground after taking the contact to that one. 0-1 the count. Beauchesne, 1-for-5 on the game. His last time up, grounded out 6-3. Has a righty-righty matchup with Avery Duncan, and Duncan looking to finish the game for the Rockers. He's been pretty good for them. 2 1/3 innings pitched now, trying to go through 3 complete. Came back in the 7th inning, 0-1. It misses low for ball number 1. Runner on first base is Arusevic. Rafters leading by 5. It's 7-2 here in the 9th inning. Duncan looks back to first a couple of times. Now back on the mound, brings the leg up, sends it home, but misses low for ball number 2. 2-1 the count to Beauchesne. His one hit came on a single back in the 5th inning, and he came around to score on it as well. A 1-for-5 in the game. 2-1 the count. Breaking ball hits the upper part of the zone for strike number 2. Evens it 2-2. Beauchesne has had some big games for the Rafters. Had 4 home runs in the previous week. Sends a grounder over towards third, and that stays fair. Down into the left field corner. Arusevic is over to third, and he will round for home. Trying to chug it in, and he will score an RBI double for Jake Beauchesne. And his second hit of the game makes it 8-2 Rafters in the top of the 9th. Arusevic scoring all the way from first base. And it brings up Hiroto Kobayashi with a runner in scoring position and one out in the top of the 9th. A 6-run Rafters lead. Duncan looks back to second, brings the first pitch to Kobayashi home, but misses low for ball number 1. Kobayashi, right-handed hitting right fielder, took over for Hayden Carlson earlier in the game as a defensive replacement after Carlson seemingly injured his hand. 1-0 the count, misses low for ball number 2, a 2-0 count. Kobayashi, 1-for-1. He doubled his last time up back in the 8th inning, and he walked in the 6th. 2-0 the count, grounded over towards third, picked up. Checks the runner at second. Throw to first is in time. It's a 5-3 putout for the second batter retired in the 9th inning. Brings up Landon Gaz with a runner on second and 2 outs in the top of the 9th. Rafters still leading by 6 runs and feeling confident about the way that things have gone. We'll be interested to see if Justin Battle returns to the mound. He's up to 48 pitches through his 3 innings. Rafters might just use 2 pitchers in this game. First pitch on the way home to Gaz, misses low for ball number 1, and Gaz has reached his last 4 times at the plate. 3 walks and a single. He walked his last time up in the 8th inning and had an RBI single in the 6th. It's on 8 pitches as well. 1-0 count is taken at the knees for strike number 1. 1-1 the count, and prior to that single, Gaz walked his past 2 plate appearances. His only plate appearance where he was retired was in the 2nd, where he flew out to right field, and it was at the wall as well. 1-1 the count on the way home. It's grounded towards third, but there's the third baseman, picks it up, throws it over to first in time for out number 3, and that takes care of Landon Gaz to get us to the bottom of the 9th. The Rafters in that 9th inning, they score 1 run on the 2 hits. There were no errors, and there was 1 left on base. We head to the final frame. The Rafters leading by 6, trying to finish it off, and we'll see if they can when we come back. It's Rafters baseball on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000-plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net, www.northernpines.net.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Raptors Baseball on WFHR.
The Raptors need just three outs to get back in the win column. They lead by six runs in the bottom of the ninth against the Green Bay Rockers. Trying to finish off this afternoon with some good news. It'll be Tony Torres who takes over for Justin Battle. And Justin Battle on the mound for 3 1/3 innings. He allowed just one hit and no runs while walking three batters. Only had one strikeout but didn't need the K's as he hands it off to Tony Torres. First pitch on the way nearly goes to the backstop. It does eventually after it bounces off the glove of Harrison Garrett for ball number one. A 1-0 count, and the leadoff man in the ninth inning for the Rockers is McLean Helton, who is 0-for-1 in the game, but he's walked his last two times up. 1-0 the count, coming home, misses high for ball number two, a 2-0 count. And Tony Torres this season, the closer for the Raptors, looking to close it down here. The 2-0 count is called for a strike to bring it back 2-1. And Torres making his 22nd appearance of the year for the Raptors. He's gone 21 1/3 innings entering this game. 2-1 the count, misses inside for ball number three, a 3-1 count. Torres a 6.33 ERA at 25 strikeouts in his 21 1/3 innings. 3-1 the count, and Torres fires home, gets a big swing and a miss from Helton to bring the count full. And Torres this season has struggled with the walks, 19 walks in 21 1/3 innings. But it's been compounded with the hits. 3-2 the count, but it misses high for ball number four, and a leadoff walk from McLean Helton brings up the top of the card with Stefan DiCorrado with a runner on first and nobody out in the bottom of the ninth. Still a six-run Raptors lead. But if the game was over, then we wouldn't still be playing. Torres got to make sure to finish it strong as the first pitch to DiCorrado is in there for strike number one. An 0-1 count. The Raptors have seen some pretty big innings from teams this season. Not this late in games before, however. 0-1 count is grounded foul off the foot of Stefan DiCorrado, and time was taken there. It looked like it was motioned fair by the home plate umpire until all of a sudden they realized, hey, that was off of the foot of DiCorrado. So an 0-2 count. Harrison Garrett was ready to throw it on down to second. Tony Torres saying, hey, hold up. That's foul. So now an 0-2 count to DiCorrado. And the pitch comes home, and that one goes to the backstop. Garrett can't pick it up with his bare hand, and instead will just toss it back to Torres as the wild pitch sends the runner from first over to second. And Tony Torres this season has struggled a little bit with wild pitches. That his sixth wild pitch of the season. 1-2 the count, swing and a miss for strike number three. And Tony Torres retires his first batter of the ninth inning. Brings up J.P. Peltier with a runner on second and one out in the bottom of the ninth. Rafters still up 8-2. Trying to finish off this win. Peltier, 1-for-4 on the game. He did get a hit his last time up. First pitch to him is high for ball number one. 1-0 the count. And for Tony Torres, it's been a little while since the last time that he's pitched in a game, it feels like. Hasn't been since a week ago, back against Wausau. 1-0 count, misses upstairs again. It's 2-0 to Peltier. After pitching 21 times to start off the game, all of a sudden you start to see a little bit of rust that he's trying to shake off. A walk and a strikeout, and now a 2-0 count to Peltier. You're seeing him try to nibble around the edge, and that's the kind of pitcher that Torres is. 2-0 the count. Can't get the call for a strike, and instead it misses for ball number three. 3-0 the count now. With Colin Helms on deck, you don't want to get to him, although he did ground into a double play his last time up. Rafters still lead by six. 3-0 count, misses high for ball number four, which means that there are now two runners on base with only one out, and Mike Spears, the Rafter pitching coach, will once again step on out to the mound. And Tony Torres, Rafters closer, trying to shut it down, and you look over to the bullpen, there's a couple of people kind of hanging around over there, but the only guy on the mound in the bullpen is Justin Battle. Well, I don't think Justin Battle is going to be coming into the game next because he's not eligible to because he pitched earlier in the game. He's just hanging around having fun back there with the rest of the bullpen arms and not really anybody getting ready down there, but they are all standing around just in the case that they need to get up and moving. Runner on first is J.P. Peltier. On second, it's McLean Helton. There's one out in the bottom of the ninth. A six-run Rafters lead. At the plate, the left-handed hitting catcher, Colin Helms, takes the first pitch for strike number one. 0-1 the count. Helms, a pair of home runs this season, entered this game batting 280 with an 833 OPS. 0-1 the count, and Helms 1-for-2 in the game, calls time to get reset. Last time up, grounded into that double play in the seventh inning. But he's got two walks and a double prior to that. 0-1 the count, misses a bit outside for ball number one, now even at a 1-1 count. Torres from El Paso, Texas, pitched at Southeastern Louisiana this past season. 1-1 coming home, misses high for ball number two, a 2-1 count. Southeastern Louisiana, a Division I college that he pitched in and faced some high-level talent there. But he is more than adjusted to the Northwoods League at this point in time. 2-1 count in there at the lower part of the zone, called for strike number two. 2-2 the count. One out in the bottom of the ninth. A double play could end it. Torres looking to take care of Helms first and foremost, however, and he does so with a swing and a miss. Strike number three, and the Rockers down to their last out in the bottom of the ninth. Rafters up by six, and Joe Manella up to the plate. Manella, the right-handed hitting DH. It's a righty-righty matchup with the game on the line. Rafters feeling pretty good about this one, but still got to finish it strong. First pitch in there for a strike. 0-1 the count. This inning has all been strikeouts and walks from Tony Torres. That's three true outcomes right there. Well, you don't want the other one to come true with Manella, although he sends one high in the air out towards deep right center field. And, well, would you look at that? A three-run home run. Speak of the devil, he makes the third true outcome with a home run here in the ninth inning to end the shutout since the first inning. Tristan Krusenberry had allowed the first two runs all the way back in the first inning, and the Rockers had not scored since, but a three-run home run from Joe Manella. It's his second home run of the game. He has driven in all five runs for the Rockers this afternoon. It's an 8-5 ball game, and now Eli Selga at the plate takes the first pitch high for ball number one. A 1-0 count. Well, at the very least, Manella gave something for the fans to be happy about as the 1-0 count. Again, misses low for ball number two. Torres not happy about it, but a 2-0 count that he'll have to work with for Eli Selga. Selga 0-1 in the game. He grounded out his last time up in the seventh inning. This pitch missing in the dirt for ball number three. It goes all the way to the backstop. 3-0 count. The Rafters up by just three runs now. And Selga has already walked three times this game. He could walk his fourth time if he takes one more ball. And the pitch from Torres is in there at the upper part of the zone for strike number one. 3-1 the count. Torres looking at home plate. Selga stands there with the 3-1 and grounds one towards first base, but just foul. Now a full count with two away, and the base is empty in the bottom of the ninth. The Rockers down to their last strike. Torres trying to get Wisconsin Rapids out of this one. Shakes off Garrett, now has the pitch. 3-2 coming home. It is high for ball number four. Third walk of the inning for Tony Torres. And it brings up David Bayania with a runner on first. And two outs in the bottom of the ninth. We are not out of the woods yet. The tying runner is on deck for the Green Bay Rockers. But first, David Bayania has to keep the inning alive. Bayania, the right-handed hitting second baseman, got a runner on first with two away. First pitch misses in the turf for ball number one. 1-0 the count. Torres still needs just one out to finish off this win for the Rafters. But starting to get a little nervous here, and the Rafters not warming an arm just yet. 1-0 the count to Bayania, and Torres gets a pitch called for a strike on the upper part of the zone. 1-1 the count. Bayania 0-3 in the game and takes the second strike at the letters to bring it 1-2. Once again, the Rockers down to their last strike. Torres trying to finish this game off and keep the Rafters on top. He throttles and fires. Bayania sends it out to center field, but Clayton is there, and he makes the catch. The Rafters have won it. A little bit of a scare there in the ninth inning, but the Rafters still manage to take the victory. In that ninth inning, three runs came across for the Rockers on the one hit. There were no errors, and there was one left on base. final score, the Rafters 8, the Rockers 5. It's a good news Sunday afternoon, and the postgame show comes up next. We'll recap how it all happened and take a look back at the stats and numbers, along with a look ahead to next game. That all comes up next on the Rafters postgame show here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
What a game from the Rafters as they take down the Green Bay Rockers. A final score of 8-5. The Rafters win it on the road, and feeling good about the way that things went there. Let's take a look back at how it all happened. Back in the first inning, It was actually the Rockers who took the early lead. Bottom of the first comes around, and Joe Manella, a two-run shot off of Tristan Krusenberry, made it 2-0. The Rafters did not score until the fifth inning. The top of the fifth comes around, though, and it's a still a 2-0 game. The Rafters are able to manage a couple of runs. They have a bunch of RBIs. They see Royce Clayton Jr. score on Jake Beauchesne's RBI single. That was followed up by an RBI from Hayden Carlson, although he ended up getting injured trying to dive head first into first base and had to be pulled from the game. That was followed up by Lachlan Maud hitting an RBI single, and then an RBI single from Matt and Akko. So a 4-0-2 ball game at that point in time. And then in the sixth inning, the Rafters would add two more runs. An RBI single from Landon Gaz and an RBI bases loaded walk from Harrison Garrett. So that made it a 6-2 ball game. From that point on, the Rafters would continue to dominate pitching-wise. Tristan Krusenberry went through 4 2/3 innings before Justin Battle went through 3 1/3. Eighth inning comes around, and in the top of the eighth, the Rafters add one more to their lead on an RBI sacrifice fly from Matt and Akko. That made it a 7-2 ball game. And then in the ninth, the Rafters would add one more on an RBI double from Jake Beauchesne, which made it 8-2, the lead for the Rafters. However, three runs would come across for Green Bay in the bottom of the ninth on a three-run shot from Joe Manella, his second home run of the game, and he was able to keep the offense alive. Then a walk to Eli Selga brought the tying run on deck for Green Bay, but Tony Torres was able to work out of the jam and kept the Rafters on top for the final score, 8-5. Let's take a look at the numbers from the game. First off, with the batting, Royce Clayton Jr., 2-for-3 from the plate. He had two walks and a hit by pitch, reached all six times thanks to an error, and man, he was great from the plate. Kareem Arusovic, 1-for-5 and a walk. Jake Beauchesne went 2-for-6 and had two RBIs. Along with that, Hiroto Kobayashi, 1-for-2 with two runs and a double along with a walk. Landon Gaz, 1-for-3 with three walks in the game, along with an RBI. Lachlan Maud was walked and had a hit, while Harrison Garrett, in his first game as a Rafter, drew two walks and was hit by a pitch twice, so he reached four times, although he went 0-for-1 from the plate. Matt and Akko had two RBIs as well. And that's a look at all of the batting numbers. On the pitching side, Tristan Krusenberry, one out away from getting the win. Instead, it went to Justin Battle, who went 3 1/3 innings. Krusenberry, 4 2/3 innings. He allowed two runs. Both were earned on two hits, seven walks, and three strikeouts. Battle went 3 1/3, did not allow a run on one hit, three walks, and one strikeout. And Tony Torres came in to close it down, although he allowed three runs in his one inning of work. So the final score, 8-5, and that's going to do it for the broadcast. A big shout out to everyone who helped make this happen for the Rafters today. A big shout out, of course, to the coaching staff, as always, for being helpful and always open to talk, and to all the players who I spoke with today, and, of course, to our pregame guest, Landon Desart, who joined us for the pregame interview, and great to get to chat with him. Looking forward to having more conversations throughout his Rafters career here, and along with that, to WFHR for hosting us, as always, on the radio side of things. But looking ahead towards next game, the Rafters once again taking on the Rockers back at Winter Field. Game time tomorrow is 6:35 p.m. for first pitch. Pregame show will start at 6:20. Gavin Brumman takes the mound for the Rockers, while Trevor Moik is starting for the Rafters. That's going to do it from our broadcast, though. One final time, the final score of the game, the Rafters 8, the Rockers 5. Back in the win column, and from myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you, and have a great rest of your night.
CBS News brief. After 6 months of President Trump's second term, it appears support for him is slipping, though his political base does like what it sees. Our new CBS News poll from Deputy Director of Surveys Jennifer DePinto.
42% of Americans approve of the job he's doing, a slight dip from 45% last month and off the highs reached earlier this year.
Dozens in Gaza have been killed and more injured, they say, at the hands of Israeli fire. The BBC's Yolan Nell says it came as they waited for an aid delivery.
They say the Israeli military, they're investigating reports of casualties and questioning the scale, the numbers of people who are reported to have been killed.
American Scottie Scheffler won his first British Open on the 153rd iteration of golf's Otis tournament. It's the 29-year-old's second major tourney win of this year after his dominant performance at this year's PGA Championship. CBS News brief, I'm Matt Piper.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Another win for the Brewers.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beating the Dodgers again. 8-7 last night in Los Angeles. Milwaukee now with a 9-game winning streak. Now, the Dodgers' Shohei Ohtani hit his 33rd homer of the year. He leads the National League, but the Brewers kept coming back. They're now 5-0 against the defending World Series champions after that 3-game sweep in Milwaukee before the All-Star break. Although Freddy Peralta won his 7th straight start, he wasn't particularly sharp, giving up 4 runs and 5 hits in 5 innings pitched. But the Brewers tacked on some insurance runs to maintain the lead. Right fielder Isaac Collins with a 363-foot homer over the short right field wall in the 4th inning. Caleb Durbin with an RBI double in the 6th. Then Joey Ortiz with a home run to round things out. So again, the final, the Brewers 8-7 over the Dodgers last night. Game 3 of the series wrapping up this afternoon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. Sunshine 79 on your Monday. Tuesday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Turning warmer on Wednesday, a chance of thunderstorms. We'll see highs in the low 90s. Chance of showers and thunderstorms Thursday.
It's 79 degrees right now.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink, but there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710, and I can build the perfect package for your business.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Whiskey River, take my mind.
Here on Raised in Whiskey.
disco. I get to rock and roll you through the day and your week, talking about the great things of the great state of Wisconsin. My name is Joel Clayfish. That's Ellie Lawton, the chef of the show, the official chef of Raised in Wisco. Megan Salazar, contributor to the show. And today, Dimitri Kalianis is here. He grew up in the mountains of Sparta. His parents punished him by kicking him out of the cabin at the top of the mountain, 13,000 feet above sea level. He walked uphill both ways, bare feet in the snow to pick olives.
Without gloves.
Between November and February. And he was not even allowed one of those little disc sleds to get back to the cabin.
Oh,
he had to walk
gosh.
Back. That's actually, I know that that sounds kind of crazy, but you actually did this in your life.
I did not do that in my life. My father did that and my grandfather. But been there many times.
That's the part of the show where we say, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, Dimitri.
And here's where it all connects to Wisconsin. Dimitri's from this area.
Yeah.
How wonderful.
Where are you from exactly, Dimitri?
Grew up in the Gurnee area between Chicago and Milwaukee, right on the Wisconsin-Illinois border.
So you have an olive oil company now, and you are focusing kind of one. I have to admit this, folks. One of the things that I love about the outdoors of Wisconsin and foraging and food is that it crosses all philosophical divides.
Yes.
You can be a liberal, you can be a conservative, you can be a libertarian, you can be Green Party, you can be anything you want. You can be
doesn't matter.
You can be a dinosaur. And you have to eat, number one. So that is the tie that binds all of us. And number two, as I am getting older and more experienced in life, I realize how important it is to put things in your body that actually give your body benefits. Mm-hmm. And the benefits of olive oil in general are unknown still. We're learning every day more and more of the benefits of olive oil. And the olive oil you procure, you've talked about as being incredibly helpful to health benefits, Dimitri.
For sure.
Well, tell me about that.
So olive oil, you know, is a fruit and, you know, it's produced in Italy, Spain, Tunisia, Greece, California now. And the United States has been a very big, especially with Food Network and all the organic eating, it's kind of blown up. 20 years ago, you go to the grocery store, there's 5 olive oils. Now there's 300 olive oils.
Yes.
So it's very confusing. It's very popular. It's very trendy. But what do these terms actually mean? What does single origin actually mean? What does extra virgin olive oil actually mean?
And, what does it actually mean?
So what
we have two chefs on the show tonight. You've owned restaurants. You've been a chef in restaurants. We've got Chef Lawton with us. I want to hear it. What do these things mean? And what do they mean to the person cooking? And what do they mean to the average Joel like me who's cooking in his kitchen? Sure.
So not to get on the Italians here, but the Italy is the...
Oh, I like this.
Italy is the number one exporter of olive oil in the world, and they're also the number one importer of olive oil in the world.
So that was going to be a question I have for you. I believe your olive oil is not blended in any way, correct?
Correct, yep.
Which is why about 2 years ago, I started using your olive oil long before I knew you or knew anything, because I read all the labels when I shop, and I, too, notice all the options at the grocery store, and I read yours. I'm like, huh, it's not blended. Heck yeah, I'm taking that home, and I've used it every day since. It's fantastic.
It.
Yeah.
So Italy produces amazing olive oil, but they usually keep all that for themselves. And then they've made a big business about shipping olive oil to the U.S., right?
Sure.
So they, like Colavita, for example, not talk bad about Colavita, tastes great. Look at the back of the bottle. It's coming from 10 different countries.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
What we specialize in is single origin extra virgin olive oil, organic, non-GMO certified, all the different labels are on the back of the bottle. So to answer your question, what does extra virgin mean? This is the most important thing, whether you're buying olive oil from Spain or from Greece or Tunisia or California, where it's from. Extra virgin is that the acidity in the oil of the oil is less than 1%.
Okay.
So what deteriorates olive oil is natural light, which is why our bottle's in a black coated bottle.
Another reason why I love your product.
Very important.
Yep.
And also low acid.
Yes.
So if you look at the bottles, ours, very few other ones, it lists the acidity on the front of the bottle. If it does not list the acidity, there's a very high chance that that's a fraudulent, probably bottle labeling.
Interesting.
90% of the olive oil sold in the United States are fake and blended. Hazelnut oils, different things. A lot of people were getting sick, actually dying from buying olive oil at the store because they had hazelnut allergies, all these different things. The FDA has been really pushing that, which is great. Europe's already been, Italy, Greece, Spain has been already at the forefront of all the certifications. That's now coming to the U.S. So extra virgin olive oil, very important. The longer the shelf life is also dependent on the acidity. So you want all those things, especially olive oil is super expensive now, you know, 20, 30, 40. Yes, it's like wine, like sometimes $50 for a bottle of olive oil. You don't want to buy that and you're not getting that benefit.
Right.
So very, very important.
Talk to me about the health benefits of olive oil, of good olive oil.
Helps with, you know, heart, your skin. Back to this, which we'll get to in a little bit, the whole skincare process. Cleopatra used olive oil on her skin. They would, Italians and Greeks would trade olive oil. You know, it was gold. It was a currency. So there's so much natural
and her skin was beautiful. I mean, at least as best I can tell by the by the etchings on the cave walls.
And even in modern day, though,
they put the olive oil on the walls.
Yes, they do. But a lot of women in Europe too. That's their beauty regimen. Yes. You know, it's olive oil right on your skin. That's getting very popular in the U.S. Also,
so here in the U.S., they used to use Crisco on their skin.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, my grandmother did.
Well, yes, Crisco, Vaseline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is a petroleum product, which is made from dead dinosaurs. No offense, Driss, over at Jurassic Dells.
I have a question for Dimitri. Your product is, I believe, in over 14,000 stores in the U.S. Is that correct?
We're in a lot of different locations. We do food service and retail. So Sysco, Performance Food Group, online, restaurants. Kehi distributes us also, large distributor. And for us, though, it's really this, you know, it's a family tradition that we've had. What Lonely Olive Tree actually means, our original grove in the mountains of Sparta had a historic fire, and all our trees were grafted. And the name of that field is Monahilia, which means the Lonely Olive Grove. It sits at the top of the mountain.
Okay.
So I named that American company. Very cool. The name of the company, my grandfather's signature's on the back, tells the whole story.
Yeah, and the bottles are beautiful and the labeling is awesome.
Thank you. It's just really giving this gift of nature, sharing this gift.
And the reason Chef Lawton understands that is because she works in the food industry. As a matter of fact, she works for one of the largest food distributors in the world.
Yes.
So you get to deal with a lot of products.
Tons of products.
In that life, right?
Yeah.
And obviously you want your company to represent quality products.
Certainly.
Does a lot of that fall on you, checking, making sure there's a high quality in the products you're selling?
I don't work in procurement, but I do a lot of sampling and work with manufacturers when they want to bring in new products. I help our sales force go to market and provide our customers with whatever they're looking for.
Oh, that's
Joel's getting ready to do some olive oil shots.
I'm going to undo the olive oil here. I want to hear about what you were talking about, Dimitri, having a kind of an on the road, a road show. You got a road show setting up here.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Tell us about the road show.
So olive oil is a big passion of mine and my family for many generations, but I'm actually a restaurateur also. Our family owns the Shanty and Captain Porky's, Wadsworth Inn, the Duck Inn. We have four locations in Wadsworth, Illinois, little farming town. And we're right between Chicago and Milwaukee, right north of Gurnee. So we do that every day. So olive oil has been a big part of our life. Very similar to, I'm sure, your family. Family's from Italy. See that nice green,
beautiful
color.
I just poured some. I'm going to give it a sample here myself just because I'm interested in it and it's and kind of curious about it.
Joel and Megan have never tried it just straight up.
I've never tried
it. You've had my cooking, which always has it in, but you've never tried it on its own.
I grew up having olive oil on ice cream. Olive oil and flake salt on ice cream.
We make gelato at our restaurant, olive oil gelato, which is great too.
With the gosh, that sounds fantastic.
I'm going to give it a taste here.
Yeah.
So what you're going to taste is a very balanced oil. You're going to have really buttery on your lips, really nice fruity taste. And then in about 10 seconds, you're going to get this slight burn in the back of your throat. That is the natural flavor of the olive.
Ah, I would have to say
good.
One thing that's interesting to me is very often on the front end of the front end of most olive oils taste very similar. Oily, yep. Buttery. There's a little bit of a butter taste. There's almost kind of an herbal tick that comes at the very front of the palate. And then when you get to swallowing that, you often with olive oil, you will get that little bit of a tick on the edges of the back of your tongue that gives you kind of that bitter taste. And what I will say on the end of this is a very smooth ride out. And I did get that little bit of a throat feel to it, which I find interesting. But I have to say, I think like whatever you'd use this in its natural state without frying it or anything like that would be a fantastic complement to a balsamic or to a little bit of salt and pepper, or even over vegetables. It's very good. Very awesome. Smooth, very rich.
I would say our recipe is very simple. We have one ingredient, olive oil.
Tell me what your favorite thing is to do with olive oil, because yours in particular, what I've realized, I've been using it, like I said, for a couple of years. It's so versatile. I can use it in dressings, sauteing. I've used it in baking. I've baked cakes with it, breads. It's so fantastic. So tell me, like, what is your favorite way to use your olive oil?
We actually use it for everything. Sauteing, we do whip burratas with it, topping fish. Salads are great. I actually take a shot every night, though, before I go to bed.
Really?
So that and a little
bit of
lemon.
A lot of people do it in the morning. Is there a benefit to doing it at night versus in the morning?
Either one. You know, I think it's good. I do it before bed, a little lemon, clears your system out.
Yeah.
It's very, very beneficial in many ways.
Yours is
and
Dimitri's
lifestyle. So when he takes his shot before he goes to bed, it is the morning. It's probably about 3 or 4 in the morning. He's gotten back from the club, take the quick shot of olive oil.
He seems like a pretty busy guy.
That's for sure. I'm very excited to talk about some recipes that are coming up. And I think
Dimitri's going to share a recipe.
We're going to have Dimitri share a recipe that he likes with his olive oil. And of course, we have Chef Lawton teamed up with contributor Megan Salazar on that. Dimitri, do you have a recipe off the top of your head?
I do. So I love Italian food. And I like Greek food too. So
you guys
kind of
are related.
Combination.
That's
you know,
so
the
goodness.
Two. So we do a recipe, an appetizer at our restaurant. It's very straightforward, all natural ingredients. We take a burrata, whip the burrata, and a bunch of our olive oil, raw organic honey.
Okay.
A little bit of fresh lemon, not juice, actual, you know, zest and squeeze. And we blend all that up and we make a Italian with no pine nuts. We make a pesto.
Oh, delicious.
Basil.
Sure.
So we blend all
with
that up
burrata.
Until you
wow,
the burrata. It's just
great.
Like silky smooth. Ooh. Then we take heirloom tomatoes. We put our olive oil in there, salt, pepper, garlic, oregano, thyme. We char those where we got a nice burn on there.
Oh, nice.
We top that on there. A nice Italian crostini bread. Ooh. Take in a sink, toast that off. Perfect.
Wow.
Got all the different flavors and textures.
We'll be putting that recipe up on the Facebook page.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, I would love to try that because food is my favorite dish, as everybody knows. I'm excited because we're going to talk food. We're going to talk recipes with Megan Salazar and
the
Raised in Wisco official chef, Ellie Lawton. Stick around. You're going to love it. It's going to be easy and you can do it at home. I'm Joel Clayfish. This is Raised in Wisco.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink. But there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710 and I can build the perfect package for your business.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great-tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You know, that reminds me of like Bama Lamb Chops. Everything to me is about
what?
Food. Everything, Bama Lamb,
I
Old
love
Black
lamb
Betty.
Chops.
Bama
they
Lamb,
are pretty tasty.
Bama Lamb Ooh. Chops. It's always about
mint
food
chutney?
With me. It really is. Ooh, I love it. I even like mint jelly. The plain old mint jelly right out of the jar. I like with my lamb chops. I really do.
Yeah.
It's
delicious. A classic.
My name is Joel Clayfish. This is Raised in Wisco. Host Danielle Fairman's enjoying her time out west, and Chef Ellie
she's
Lawton.
Fishing.
Is sitting in the co-anchor chair today. I always say co-anchor. It goes back to my TV news
co-anchor.
Days. It's
really
co-host on radio.
Yeah.
But it's co-anchor, co-host.
I'm sitting
good
in
enough.
The tomato, dark tomato. Brown chair.
You know what the name of my boat was when I was on television news? You know what the name
Let
of my
me
boat
guess.
Was?
Jolvis.
No, that was my nickname in college.
No, it wasn't.
The name, it was.
You gave it to yourself. It's not a
I
nickname.
I did not give the nickname to myself. Oh. I didn't. I really didn't. I didn't.
It's okay.
I had four pairs of blue suede shoes, and that's why. No. Jolvis, oh. Jolvis, Elvis. Elvis in his later years. You can listen to Raised in Wisco on all your Civic Media stations throughout the state of Wisconsin. 23 of them in all. And Chef Lawton, the official chef of Raised in Wisco, is jumping in for Danielle. And we're having her in her regular usual capacity too, which excites me because I love food.
You guys
food
work me to the bone,
dish.
So I have to go home and eat a lot of food.
Hey. Well, you know what? I'm going to give you a 25% raise then. How does that sound?
0 times 0.25
Oh,
is,
sure. The IRS accountant is going to chime in now. Way to go.
No one's supposed to know.
Well, we are in the cooking segment of the show. Let's talk food. Chef Lawton, what do you got?
I have Axis Deer fajitas tonight.
Ooh, that sounds unbelievable.
And you know what's unbelievable about it? Not unbelievable, actually. Megan harvested the Axis Deer.
Aww. I also butchered it in my hotel
room. In her
room.
Hotel room.
I've been there. I have been there.
To that hotel room?
No.
Weird. Super weird. Why are you following me?
Stalker.
I have butchered things in hotel rooms, in hotel
Who
parking
hasn't,
lots.
Honestly?
If you are a true hunter
Dimitri,
and you travel,
I bet you, have.
You definitely butcher things in hotel rooms. It's getting...
I butcher bags of Doritos in hotel rooms.
Yes.
Okay, let's get to this Axis Deer. So, super easy recipe. Joel, this recipe might actually sound familiar. Because it's a repeater, and you were the original genius behind it.
Ooh, I like that idea.
You're the creator.
I think the funniest thing about it is you called me a genius.
Well, yeah. It's fine. You're welcome.
Just in this one instance.
Okay, so we did about, Megan, what did we do? About 3 pounds of Axis deer in a crock pot.
Yep.
And then we did a cup of our lovely Lonely Olive Tree Organics extra virgin olive oil. Thank you, Dimitri. And then we did a half a cup of fresh lemon juice. We did some.
I put some lime in there too.
She put some lime when I was turned around. And then what did we do? About a quarter cup of Sonora Provider Spice Sonora.
Ooh, perfect.
Which is fantastic. And then.
Oh, then we got the Axis Deer Kettle and Fire Bone Broth.
Ooh, bone broth. And you added
they
one.
They sell it now at Whole Foods.
That's about four cups. That's about 4 cups.
Yeah. And then the rest with water.
Then we covered the meat with water.
That stock is going to be unbelievable.
Oh, it's
right?
going to be. Wow. Yeah, that's going to get turned into a lot of good stuff. So this was just to prepare the meat, put the lid on, set it for low for 4 hours, and then crank it up to high for the last two until the meat shreds. Megan, what do we do for toppings for those?
We are sauteing peppers and onions in our Lonely Olive Tree Organic Olive Oil.
It's the best.
We could do some mushrooms too if we want.
Yes.
And then we've got some great tortillas to put them on. And then on the side, if you want cilantro, if you aren't a cilantro hater, you can add some cilantro.
Who but if you're a cilantro hater, you can you can leave
tasters.
The building.
There's super tasters out there that hate cilantro.
Cilantro's, I think I'm a super taster and I love cilantro.
It's also, genetic. It's genetic.
You guys, I know it's weird, but mint and parsley with the cilantro on the fajitas is a really good thing.
Ooh, I have some in the garden. So
yeah.
Oh man, we should try that. That recipe.
Scuba Club is going to be eating good.
Oh, well,
tomorrow.
Let's give a give a shout out to Scuba Steve and his cohorts. You want to talk about a cool raised in Wisco. Scuba Steve puts on a class. Now I've never met the guy and I've never even,
what?
I don't even know if his name's Steve.
What are you
Steve.
Talking about?
Don't you do scuba diving, Megan?
Yeah, but not with Scuba Steve.
Oh, who's, why do I have Scuba Steve
I'm gonna
in my
pull
head?
Danielle here. What is happening?
What is happening?
What is happening? Danielle, we need you. Hurry back.
Well, what's the name of the guy who teaches your class, Megan?
I don't have a class. We just dive as friends.
It's a group.
It's a
club.
It's a club. Oh, well, you
Do
always
you
say
join?
Scuba so-and-so.
No, hey. Scuba Club.
Scuba Club.
Scuba
well,
Club.
Shout out to
It's actually the Four Seasons Scuba Diving Club.
Well, I'm glad seasons. The Scuba Club could be the star of the food segment.
Hey, they like food too, so I got to feed them.
I think Lonely Tree is the star of the cooking segment. You know, having you guys along to listen to our shenanigans every week really means a lot to us. We appreciate it. And as we travel the state of Wisconsin, it's very exciting when folks come up to me and talk to us about listening to Raised in Wisco. And when you write into Facebook, we want to know what you think of the show and if you have suggestions for it or things you'd like to hear us talk about.
Yes, George Ermert.
George Ermert, go on the Facebook page and partake in Megan Salazar, Director of Marketing for Raised in Wisco.
Do
Take
I get a
look
a raise?
At her. You get a raise too. 50%.
Yes.
You get 50%.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
32 percentage points of the stock.
You know what, Joel? We're going to give you a raise.
Thank you.
You deserve it.
Well, you're going to have to talk to Jacob about that.
Jacob, we need you.
Chris Casper, I hope you're listening.
Hey, Chris.
We've had you as a guest on the show before. We love having you along. You can hear us on all your civic media stations throughout Wisconsin. Dimitri is here with Lonely Tree Olive Oil. He came in today, gave us some samples of that. It's fantastic. Megan Salazar, contributor, and of course, our certified French chef, Ellie Lawton. My name's Joel Clayfish. Listen to us live if you can, Saturdays at 11, or check us out on the podcast after the show. This is Raised in Wisco. We'll see you next week.
Listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome director-producer John Roach at Max Inc. Radio's Rocker joins me in studio for some Atwood Fest chat. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Meteorologists are warning of a heat dome returning to the central part of the country this week. It will expand into the north and west for the remainder of this month. KMOV-TV meteorologist Leah Hill is in St. Louis.
It's a muggy and warm day, and it's just rinse and repeat. In fact, the heat gets even hotter, and it builds even more, especially come Tuesday and Wednesday. As we lose the cloud cover, we lose the rain chances, and now we're all just exposed to that intense heat.
In Oregon, a group was trying to cool off at a waterfall when six of them were swept over it. They went over at Dillon Falls near the city of Bend. At least one person is dead, though two others have not yet been found since yesterday. The other three were taken to a hospital. Today marks 6 months since President Trump took office. For another Sunday, Commerce Secretary